We started the service today with Martin Luther King Jr.'s words. Let us bring those back. Agape does not begin by discriminating between worthy and unworthy people. It begins by loving others for their sakes and makes no distinction between a friend and enemy. It is directed toward both. Agape is love seeking to preserve and create community. When I first heard the term or phrase beloved community, I thought that it sounded very nice. I imagined a place where everyone was welcome and treated with love. While there is some truth to that idea, it is so much smaller than what beloved community really is. Beloved community is part of Martin Luther King Jr.'s plan to radically change the world. And although he did not originate the phrase, it actually comes from Josiah Royce, the founder of the Fellowship of Reconciliation. Much like Parker Palmer's words about bending the arc of the universe to justice, Martin Luther King Jr. really taught us these phrases, popularized the idea of beloved community. So much so that many people in this country, many people even in Unitarian Universalism, feel like they know what it means and aren't actually able to attach it to King. So one of the first things that I thought of when I came here was, which group of people is this congregation in? Does this congregation love this phrase because of the work of Martin Luther King Jr.? Or does this congregation have their own idea of what it means and might not even realize that it's part of King's dream? And like so many things, it's both. There are many people in this congregation who know that it's part of King's plan for justice and peace. And there are many here who really did not realize until maybe more recently that it has a connection to something greater than our own comfort being together, our own happiness, our own feelings of being loved or not loved. Beloved community is not a utopia. It is also not heaven. It is a real goal for work towards peace. I entitled Beloved Community is a verb. I entitled the service that because for me, when people say things are spiritual practices, even as a minister, I kind of go, oh yeah, And I didn't want us to do that. So if I unfairly put you in a camp with myself, I apologize. Beloved community is bigger than one place, one congregation, one group of people. It is the idea of all creation working, living, loving in right relationship. Let me share a little bit more of what Dr. King believed. He believed that the goal of his nonviolent protests was beloved community, the end of reconciliation, the end is redemption, the end is the creation of the beloved community. It is this type of spirit and this type of love that can transform opponents into friends. It is this type of understanding goodwill that will transform the deep gloom of the old age into the exuberant gladness of the new age. It is this love which will bring about miracles in the hearts of people. It was a global vision where we would not tolerate poverty or homelessness, where we would not be afraid of conflict, knowing that we have the ability to work through conflicts with nonviolence, work through conflicts so that we can actually become siblings, siblings of creation. As I was putting together my notes, I thought about one person who I kind of have allowed myself to dislike. It's not anyone here. That's the good news. The bad news was that I realized that I'd let myself kind of get to that place of making somebody a bad guy. And it was heartening to remember that that's not going to bring me to liberation. Holding yuckiness, whether it is completely justified, mainly harms myself and prevents us all from being in right relationship with each other. So, beloved community is not easy. It is not pretty or logical, linear. It is messy. And I think for many of us, that process of being in the mess, the muck, being in conflict with each other, brings up a lot of fear. Fear that this place is going to be like every other place, or this relationship is going to be like all the failed ones that we read about and see on TV. In order to create beloved community, we have to be countercultural. We have to believe that although there are systems that seek to separate us, we, each one of us, can make a difference. So blaming systems doesn't get us off the hook. It just helps us understand how we got here and helps us see that we can't stay in the system and be free. Now, I don't know about you, but to me, this sounds pretty lofty and a little bit abstract. What really changed how I felt about beloved community from being this not utopian, but maybe still unrealistic expectation was watching a webinar from an online course by two incredible Unitarian Universalist leaders. And I really wasn't expecting it. The webinar is the first module of a course on being more inclusive to transgender individuals in our faith and in our congregations. So I was expecting to learn a lot of things that I didn't know about gender. And I had my notes and paper ready. And what I was able to partake in was 45 minutes of faith. 45 minutes that reminded me of why I am a Unitarian Universalist. Alex Capitan and Reverend Michael Slack talked to the course participants about beloved community. And I admit they have a slightly sarcastic sense of humor, so I enjoyed that. And they explained that we can't have one beloved community. We can't have 7,900 or even 389 billion. I don't know if that works with the like the numbers of the people on the planet, but just go with me. We can't have numbers of beloved community. It is not a thing that exists in separate places. Beloved community is all of creation. Acting, verbing in right relationship. It doesn't mean that we all like each other. It doesn't mean that we agree with each other. It means that we believe that each other has the same right to belong, to love, to be loved, to be safe, to have resources, and ultimately to thrive. Thrive. And so, as they talked about beloved community, I started to think about what we're trying to do here. And although we will never be a beloved community because those things don't exist, we can act beloved community. We can live beloved community with each other, with tears and scraped up knees sometimes. We can learn how to be together even when it's uncomfortable. And the first thing that we would like to do is not be uncomfortable. We can learn how to stay and not harm each other further. That's how we do beloved community. Like Alex and Michael are trying to teach in this webinar, we can learn that we don't have to be like-minded. It feels like we need to be. I'll admit this. I wonder how people who can think so differently than I do about certain things in the world, how could they love people like I love people? I can assume that they don't. I can assume that they're lying. And we see where that gets us. So what happens if I believe that we could have the same values and believe that we're acting them out differently? Is that possible with all people? No matter where we are on the protest line? I don't know. king thought so. Many of our Unitarian Universalist leaders think so. I wish it was super easy and people just stunk or were awesome. But I'm going to make a confession to you that I didn't think I would ever make from the pulpit. I might have told the search committee this after they selected me. But because I am slightly sarcastic, my little joke was that once I was granted preliminary fellowship, because that's the big, like, huge goal that looms in front of every Unitarian Universalist seminarian, I joked that I was gonna get business cards that said Reverend Kelly Kelly, and then the tagline was gonna be, people suck. Period. And, period, I know that I'm breaking the grammatical rules, but I'm doing it with intention to make a point. So, people suck, period. And, period, people are awesome, period. Like, we're both, all of us. And it's hard. I know in our own movement, we're starting to learn things about ministers that, are really hard to reconcile with the incredible sermons that they've given. One person in particular is Reverend Forrest Church. So many of us have read Reverend Church's words on Unitarian Universalism and love and what it means to be alive and be in the moment. And yet, we've also learned that he broke ethical codes that aren't okay to break. And so, how do we hold both? How do we hold that Theodore Parker, who we love to be proud of, because he kept a gun on his desk to fight slavery, and he was not going to be silenced. He was going to speak what he believed and encourage us to stand against slavery. How do we hold that so much of that also lived right next to in him true racism about why we needed to end slavery? How do we hold that he fought for justice and still didn't see our African American siblings as equals? That he saw them as children? It is complicated. It is hard. And it's beloved community. It's learning how to talk to each other about the things that we disagree about. It's learning how to hold somebody's opinion even if we can't change it. It's knowing that even if we continue to disagree, we could still be in real conversation and real relationship. So why would they make a video about this for a course on inclusion? Because it starts right where we are all the time. It's not just about greeting people in a really awesome way, because of course you do. It isn't about being friendly. It's about learning how our differences matter. And learning learning how the things that we share in common matter too, but aren't greater than our differences. That they don't have to be. That we don't have to switch everybody's political party. Or principles into words that are closer to ours. What we need to do is learn how to be together and how to fight for what we believe in without denigrating the people who disagree. And that happens in our congregations, it happens in some of our families. And it certainly happens in our country and our world right now. So what if each of us could try to learn how to slow down and not react, which is like super hard? Because our brains have been doing what they've been doing. Once again, I'm not sure on the science here if this is thousands of years or more than that, but we've been doing it for a long time. We are very good at protecting ourselves. And although we say that protecting ourselves doesn't really matter because we're not being chased by a tiger anymore, being kicked out of the group used to mean that we would die. Belonging matters. It matters from an evolutionary perspective that we can't rewire. It matters so much here. So we are going to hurt each other, and that does not mean it's okay. Doesn't mean that the hurt was worth it because of what we learned. It means that we're going to keep on doing it and try to reduce the harm as much as we can. And we're going to try to love each other even when we don't like each other. And we're going to try to remind ourselves that beloved community is a verb.
My place.